Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, Dr. Prather, let's start with our updates on COVID-19, and then we're going to talk about school reopening, pros and cons to that. We'll follow up with that. So I know our radio listeners are really appreciating the updates on COVID-19.
I've been getting quite a few comments from patients and different people that it's been very helpful in giving two sides to the story, you know, being dry and be fair. And that's one of the things that I think that the news stations, things like that, I've always thought that one of the worst things that ever happened was being able to make money off the news. Because then that slants the whole thing, so you try to get the ratings instead of getting accurate news out there, something that's more informed as a public service, but rather as something that becomes a money maker. And so sensationalizing things can really be an issue within the news. Mm-hmm. So, but that's my own soapbox. And
well, and you had some personal experience. Someday we'll have to share in the story. You know, even as a young child, what you saw at the Nixon inauguration.
Sure.
So that'll be for another day. But let's talk about the updates on COVID-19. I think people, too, say it gives them hope. It calms their fears from what
you
shared.
Well, one of the things that is a big thing is the anxiety, stress. You know, I talked about how everybody's showing up very stressed and stress syndrome right now, which doesn't help with the whole process. One of the most common things about pandemics is it's usually during a time of stress because people's immune systems are worn down. So the worst thing we can do is get people all petrified and then have them weaken their immune system, which doesn't help the whole situation.
Well, it increases ratings.
Yes, it does.
Oh, okay. So what is new with the COVID-19 right now?
Right now, of course, there is an increase in the number of COVID-19 cases. Mm-hmm. That is one thing that is going on, but the death rate isn't really keeping up with that. Though they keep on saying, well, it's going to hit. But one of the things that is shown up is that COVID-19 has mutated. It is much more easily transmitted from person to person, but it doesn't seem to be as deadly or as dangerous. You know, it depends on how you look at it, whether this is good news or bad news. I consider it kind of a good news thing, not that it's more transmissible. But people then get it, and we get that herd immunity, which is what everybody's looking for.
So how concerned should we be with the increase in COVID-19 cases?
Again, you've got people who are sitting there saying, oh, good, you know, we're going to get through this, and everybody's going to get it, and then we're not going to be in near as much of a situation. Mm-hmm. We've got other people who are running around like Chicken Little saying, the sky's falling. Uh-huh. Going back to the original presumption that there were three different roads you can take. One where you just really shut everything down and don't allow people to get outside even. Mm-hmm. Where you keep the COVID-19 under control. And the scenario on that was that would be good for the immediate, but long term, you would still have a huge spike eventually because you can't maintain that type of thing. Mm-hmm. The other one is the just let it go and see, you know.
Let it go.
Let it go and just, you know, people are going to catch it and we'll see how it all comes out. And then the middle road was the one that the United States decided to choose, was some restrictions, but not completely shutting down. So what you're doing is you're trying to control the rate of infection so it doesn't overwhelm the medical system. Pretty much everybody has acknowledged that everyone's going to get the COVID-19 eventually. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to be isolated the whole rest of your life. And that actually causes a whole nother set of health issues, which may or may not be worse than the COVID-19. So there's the whole process along those lines of looking at it. In different countries, one of the famous ones is Sweden, decided to go, well, we're just going to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are like, oh, no, well, look at their numbers. They have a 2% higher rate of death than we do. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, you know, that's not that much. Mm-hmm. And who knows over the long run whether that was the best course or not. Mm-hmm. But we'll see, and different states have also taken different thought processes on that.
Right. We here in the Midwest, a lot different than California.
Yeah, or the biggest one is Hawaii.
Hawaii, yeah.
Hawaii just really completely shut down. And of course, the whole thing is that the underlying pinning was that you don't overwhelm the medical system was the big concern. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that it's going to go around to everyone eventually. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to have to live in a bubble the rest of your life, which I don't recommend. It will probably kill you quicker than the COVID-19. Mm. What's the best course on that? We'll have to wait and see. Probably, again, I keep saying in 2 years, we'll actually know.
2 years, yeah.
Up until then, there's a lot of very strong opinions. One of the things is this last weekend, I went out to New Hampshire, which was part of the Appalachian Trail, mm-hmm. Mount Washington. And there were people who were doing the Appalachian Trail up there. And they were the ones who had defied because they had actually asked everyone to get off of there because they said you could be a transmission and spreading it up the Appalachian Trail.
Uh-huh.
Most of the people actually got off, but there was quite a few diehards who said, I'm going ahead. Mm-hmm. They said they got a lot of verbal abuse from people that were actually came out there and made a point of letting them know they were being called grandma killers.
Grandma killers. Wow.
So.
Wow.
There's some
people
pretty
have a strong opinions on this.
Yeah, strong opinions. You know, they said, well, we weren't in contact with anyone the entire way. I don't know how I could even be spreading it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's strong feelings along those lines, and there's a lot of high emotions that go with this.
Mm-hmm. Where are we with the vaccine? Give us an update on that.
Well, Fauci keeps on coming out and saying we're going to have it all ready in January. The head guy that is actually doing quite a bit with the looking at it from Johns Hopkins says, I don't think it's going to be ready till 2022.
Think it's a political move on Fauci?
Well, actually, the Center of Disease Control and the company that's going to be putting one out, Fauci actually has a strong interest in that.
Oh, okay.
So,
so
I don't.
The answer is.
They're saying they're going to put it out. There are quite a few people say, I'm not quite sure if that's really safe. And there are some very, very well-known virologists who say, I don't think it's going to be, you know, really safe to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But Fauci and his group say, it's absolutely safe. One of the things that was interesting is he said it might be as effective as getting close to as effective as actually getting the disease.
He said that?
He said that. So, you know, it's like, well, you don't want anybody to get the disease, but you know, because you want social distancing. But, you know, it's like, I don't understand. So, It's again, it does generate a lot of emotions and different thoughts on how things should be done.
Uh-huh.
What's the right answer? We'll wait and see.
Mm. So how are treatments going for severe cases of COVID-19?
Well, that's one of the things that's good. They found out that the way that they were treating COVID-19 at the beginning was completely wrong. Probably caused more problems than it actually helped.
They were thinking the lungs.
Right. They were doing the ventilators, and they don't even use those now. Mm-hmm. So there's a positioning type of thing that they have to do. The big thing that is showing up as very effective for the COVID-19 is actually getting plasma, the serum, from people who have had it, giving it to people who are in severe cases. Oftentimes they're saying they turn around on a dime.
Ah, so getting their plasma, people that have had it.
Had it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Getting the immunoglobulins, the immune system from mm-hmm. the people who've had it seems to be an amazing type of thing. The other thing is that they have found a steroid that does work to keep the clotting from occurring. So even the people, which we are getting a less percentage of the people who have COVID-19 into the severe cases, mm-hmm. just because of the mutation of the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
So those people who have been trying to avoid it, that very well could have been a very good scenario for them, you know, mm-hmm. in other words, a good strategy, because it could even mutate even more and be even less of a problem. So it has mutated and not as severe, and the treatments have improved quite a bit. So I don't think that we're going to see the death rate really, if we're handling it right, we're going to see the death rate actually go down.
That's encouraging.
Yeah. So it's, in other words, if you do get it, and one of the things that we are seeing is that a lot of people who did get the COVID-19, or even the people who, some of the people who never even got it, are winding up with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disease. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what we need to do is to get, which is very damaging and causes a huge amount of health issues. We need to not get emotional over this.
Easy to say,
but it's healthy, and you can actually cause more harm than good by the emotions that we create.
Yeah, just check your news sources. You know, don't have that TV on. Just take small dosages. I don't even, you know, I don't look at the news.
Well, I mean, they're bringing out all the worst cases scenarios, yeah. And oh, this person, yeah, you know, and you can do that with about anything. And I do feel that our news media has created a sense of panic. Mm-hmm. I think they've been irresponsible. And I think that we need to have a much more balanced type of a picture. Truth,
yes. All right. Well, thank you for that update. When we come back, we're going to talk about school reopening, pros and cons.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology. Okay, we're going to talk about this rapid release technology, or RRT. It's our secret weapon, like to say. It's non-surgical, drug-free treatment option.
Sure.
It's FDA-registered high-speed vibration device. It was developed in 2010.
Actually by a chiropractor.
It's a pioneered high-speed vibration therapy. It's focused on the relief of soft tissue problems affecting nerves, muscles, tendons, and ligaments.
There's a lot of different ways that you can get adhesions and scar tissue and different things released. A lot of it can actually be very painful to achieve. And it's one of the things that is not well treated at all in the disease care model up until this point. What they were able to do is come up with a concept of a vibrational instead of a mechanical. It's vibrating at a frequency that they found breaks up tissue that is abnormal. So it actually starts to change it, melt it away. When it does that, then allows the body to go in there and lay down normal tissue that is fully functioning. The good illustration on that is an opera singer who can sing, and you've got that fine crystal starts to vibrate. And it vibrates at a higher frequency, even to the point where it can even crack. What you're doing with this rapid release is you're creating a vibration, and that doesn't harm normal tissue. As a matter of fact, it actually heals it, gets more circulation, and makes it better functioning. But abnormal tissue, it actually breaks up, and then it helps the body to dissipate it.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through rapid-release high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid-release therapy by scheduling an appointment at the Prather Practice. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid-release banner and enter code PRATHER2020 for a $100 discount available to the Voice of Health Radio listeners. The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
85% of everyone who died from COVID-19 in the United States had comorbidities in their death certificate. They also died from kidney failure, congestive heart failure, lung disease, liver failure. So there was an awful lot of other factors that went into their death. It wasn't just that they died from COVID-19. People are oftentimes that I'm talking to are in a panic over this. We need to get the truth out there. You know, if you're not 75, you're probably not going to die from it. And even then, of the people who are 80 plus who have COVID-19, only 18.4% actually wind up in the hospital. A lot of them don't even know they have it. The underlying conditions is what sets someone off. It's not just some random thing that comes around and preys on you.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
We're going to talk now about school reopenings with the COVID-19, for this fall, the pros and the cons. Are schools planning on reopening for the fall? And are we talking about Indiana? Yes. Are we talking about, okay.
Well, and all across the country. But at this point, Indiana is all scheduled to reopen their schools.
Okay.
So they are allowing each community, each state to look at that. Mm-hmm. And to make a decision. But Indiana at this point has every intention. But things can change.
Right.
One of the things is the CDC has said, we're not saying to open or not to open.
Mm-hmm.
Fauci came out and said, no, we're not telling people what to do and where it's going. They have to make individual types of choices depending upon the area. The United States is awfully big. Some places have very high rates and some places have very low rates. You can't make just a national decision on that.
Mm-hmm.
To see on that. But right now, Indiana is doing pretty well. We don't seem to have the spikes like Texas and Florida and California.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're planning on, all the schools are planning on opening up.
I know when you said, their worry, the whole thing, like with the last pandemic in 1918, is too many people in the hospital, overdoing it. And we, our daughter works in Chicago, one of the hospitals there, and they were all prepared for a surge and set up a room, set up a whole floor,
right.
COVID floor, and it didn't happen. And so, no. and now, they're back.
They were just kind of sitting around.
Uh-huh.
Waiting for everybody to come in.
Yeah.
So yeah, it did not happen there. So,
mm-hmm.
We'll. There are a lot of places where they were prepared and made all these types of efforts and shut down all sorts of the hospital and nothing happened.
Yeah. Well, back to school. So, with reopening, is it putting our children at risk?
Well, that's the big question that people have. Am I safe to send my child to the to get exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't been, what are the risk factors? And it's very well agreed that children, often most of the children who get it don't have any symptoms whatsoever. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, also if they do have it, most of the time they have very mild cases. So not as prevalent with the problems for children.
Mm-hmm.
But again, one of the things that the CCC says is that there are some cases, which we'll talk about, there's something called a multi-system inflammatory syndrome that has shown up in children. So one of the things is, we don't actually have a whole lot of data on kids, how much at risk they are. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been the follow-up, there hasn't been the attention. There have been cases that have been diagnosed as other different types of things going on. And there are a lot of different types of factors that go into it. One of the things is your child at a higher risk than others? If you have a pretty healthy child, not on any medications, mm-hmm. then you should be pretty safe on sending your child to school. If your child is has different types of conditions, where they might have a weakened immune system, any type of autoimmune disease, or if they're having to take pharmaceuticals, that does pose more of a threat for the child and has more of a tendency to have a problem. So,
especially antibiotics. Yeah.
Antibiotics are, one thing that people don't realize is that an antibiotic will weaken the immune system. 10 days antibiotic round will cause the immune system to be weaker for 3 months.
3 months.
3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are one of the things that should be discussed on how to work with. But for the majority of children, it's really very little risk.
How about teachers? Is it putting teachers at risk?
Well, if you're under 50, your chances of actually having problems are very little. However, if you're an older teacher, mm-hmm. There is more of a risk that's involved. So one of the things is that teachers are concerned because they sit there and say, as all all teachers know, and parents, children are little germ factories.
Yes.
And schools are one of the ways that germs are spread quicker than any place else. So, you know, as a teacher, you need to evaluate, am I at risk?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I someone who maybe shouldn't be exposed? But the majority of teachers are in pretty good shape and really don't have any problem. Again, for the healthy people, COVID-19 is not an issue.
Right.
Which is always amazing how I see these, some of the people that I saw that just kind of flipped out more than anybody else was some 20-year-old who's never been sick their entire life, runs marathons and, you know, and they just go into panic. And it's like, you know, this isn't really realistic.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it, you're probably not even going to know it.
Well, and there's so much anxiety in that population, that 20s. You know, there's a lot of anxiety, even pre-COVID-19 that they
there is.
And depression.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, it's a matter of individual types of things. And so there should be accommodations for the teachers who, you know, in other words, they don't want to lose their job.
Right.
And so feeling pressure along those lines, there should be some special rules along those lines to help them out.
Well, let's talk about modifications. What modifications should be made?
Well, you know, there are several different types of things that are recommended by the CDC. Social distancing, cutting down on the class size,
mm-hmm.
Maybe doing split schedule, not having everybody in for cafeteria, probably eating lunch in the classrooms.
Classroom. Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of modifications that you can cut down on the ability to transmit. Having the option for having online schooling
mm-hmm.
For those who are at risk or people who are concerned. Those are all different types of options that need to be considered. And not having as much crowding. You know, having large groups together is something that definitely should be looked at. So there are modifications that should be made, but we need to look at, one of the things is that Trump was looking at it and saying, well, these are pretty expensive types of things, because if you have two shifts, that definitely increases the cost for the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a lot of considerations on what's necessary and what's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I know some schools in the area, school systems, parents are having to decide to either send their kids or do it at home online.
Right, right. And what type of stressors that are involved on that? You know, how much you have a cousin who has
five kids.
And we got to see a video of them doing online schooling. And I was like, she's going to need to be hospitalized afterwards.
The mom.
So she's like, I hope they send him back to school here soon.
Sure, a majority of the parents are thinking.
Yeah. So, you know, having that option. And one of the things is that there's also health risks and educational risk for not starting school,
mm-hmm.
not just going into school, but, you know, there are 22 million children who are dependent upon school lunches for their basic nutrition.
Wow.
There is also a lot of stressors that are put on kids. You know, there's the social isolation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what types of traumas are we developing for the kids at this point?
Right.
So again, you know, there's a weighing of positives and negatives, and we need to, one, allow different communities to make decisions,
mm-hmm.
and we also need to allow the parents to make a decision on what's going to be best for their child.
Right.
And give them the option of having a reopened school.
Mm-hmm.
I think is really an important type of thing.
The option, yeah.
So those decisions need to be looked at carefully and decided upon.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about more children and the COVID-19 and something called the multi-system inflammatory syndrome. So we'll
that was a lot of words.
That a lot of
yeah.
syllables.
Yes.
All right. We'll be right back.
All right.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
I don't care if you're driving yourself or someone else to the emergency room. You still want to get out and run in with them. Are you supposed to drop somebody off and go park a car? Okay, you go in. Tell them you're shot. Ask them if they validate.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
The average age of someone dying from COVID-19 is 75 here in the United States. Age is a very big factor for how severe and how likely you are to die from it. Of course, they have a lot more underlying conditions. Things start to wear out as you get older. Also, vitamin and mineral deficiencies, the importance of zinc, vitamin A, vitamin D, keeping up the immune system. Immune system definitely starts to drop as you get older. Kidney function starts to go down. Is it just the age? I'm thinking it's more the health of the individual. There's a tremendous amount of things that you can do to reverse your biological age. And working on those things are something that we recommend quite a bit.
And you've seen that quite a bit at the Prather Practice.
Yes, where I've told people, we just reversed your biological age by 20 years.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at dtsweightlosscenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed.
I was feeling so bad.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. We talked about school reopening, the pros and cons, talking about children and COVID-19 and what they found. They've talked about this multi-system inflammatory syndrome. What is that, Dr. Prather?
Just the whole body goes into an inflammatory. Basically, it's something called cytokines. Mm-hmm. Take off in the body.
I remember that in science class.
Right. And causes damage throughout the body from the inflammation and can actually shut down organs. So it can be a rather dangerous syndrome. They have confirmed about 300 cases in the United States on this. So it is something that needs to be aware of. Oftentimes it's mistaken for Kawasaki's disease.
Yes. Okay.
Or toxic shock syndrome. But it doesn't follow the normal type of patterns along those lines, because usually Kawasaki's disease is in Oriental children mm-hmm. of Asian extraction and usually under 5. However, most of the kids who have a multi-system inflammatory syndrome are older and don't fit all the criteria for that. Basically, it's pretty baffling for doctors at the beginning. I've been able to be involved in 2 cases of this particular.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
One where the young adult, he was a teenager and also had Crohn's disease, got severe abdominal pain, which is one of the symptoms for the COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And they thought he had a flare-up of the Crohn's disease, but he didn't have the other types of symptoms, and they gave him an immune suppressant. And that just was the absolute worst thing that you could possibly do. and started the whole blood clotting and all the different types of
things.
They
didn't test him for the COVID.
No, they did not. Mm-hmm. So it was a situation where it just became a real crisis, mm-hmm. and needed to be gotten under control. The other case was a young girl who also had gotten the COVID-19, and she was given an antibiotic, which also weakens the immune system and started in on some of the symptoms of the multi-system inflammatory syndrome, and they misdiagnosed her for Kawasaki's. Mm. Started treating it accordingly with also some steroids that were actually weakened the immune system were the wrong things for the COVID-19. Again, they created a whole series of problems.
Right.
So
they've been just finding out how this is affecting children.
Right. Right.
Recently.
Right. And one of the things that was, that the ones that I know of that were an issue along those lines, was basically they gave them the wrong pharmaceutical when they had developed the COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And that really set them up for the whole process to really take off.
Okay. So what are the symptoms of this?
Well, you get fever, abdominal pain is mm-hmm. one of the more common things. Vomiting, diarrhea, neck pain, rash, bloodshot eyes, fatigue, and cracked lips.
Oh, and that the young gal you were talking about had the bloodshot eyes.
Correct.
I remember that.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that shows up along those lines, and something that was also occurs with the other teenager mm-hmm. that was showing up. So those are all different types of symptoms that you need to look out for.
So when should a person take their child to the emergency room?
Well, when they start to have trouble breathing, that means that you're having quite a few clots in the lungs, pain or pressure in the chest, confusion that wasn't there before, inability to stay awake. Mm. They fall asleep and you can't kind of rouse them. Also, bluish lips or bluish face and severe abdominal pain.
Okay.
And then one of the things, of course, is that you need to be aware that it could be, in those instances, COVID-19, mm-hmm. and not let them put them on something that's going to suppress the immune system.
Right.
Because that's
like
when
an antibiotic
that's
or
when things start going down. They need to be treating it as if it is COVID-19 first, mm-hmm. and look at that as a possibility.
And test them.
And test them. Well, the problem is that the tests aren't, they're not accurate.
Right, yeah. Okay. What should be done then to protect our children?
Well, a big thing is to make sure that they're healthy. Mm-hmm. Having the different types of tests, we need to be a little bit more thorough with children. It's pretty well known some of the factors that go into a weakening of the immune system. And making sure that the children are have a good working immune system, especially, you know, if you're looking at whether to send your child to school or not, you need to make sure their immune system is working correctly.
Yeah, and that is so important. They can come in, get a full workup, blood work,
sure,
to check the immune system before they send their child to school. There's easy supplementation. Let's talk about that. You know, what
right.
nutritional needs.
First off, vitamin D. Everybody knows that, how important that is.
I have a real good friend who's black. Mm-hmm. She's in her 30s. She's on vitamin D. She has a 2-year-old. You know, I said, has she been checked, you know, for her vitamin D levels?
Right.
Because the black population really needs to watch their vitamin D levels.
Right, because it's made by the sun, and the darker you are, the more sunshine you need to be able to make your vitamin D. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that has been, that I have said, is that one of the reasons that race has been a factor for the COVID-19 is the vitamin D levels. Mm-hmm. So having your vitamin D checked, zinc seems to be a major factor. Mm-hmm. And you can get tests for that. Iodine is also very important for how well your immune
system. And that's important here in Indiana. We're low in iodine because of our soil.
Yeah. Right. Iodine deficiency, and iodine has a huge effect on the immune system.
And I know you've said if you're low in zinc, you know, they're talking about you lose your taste, sense of taste and smell is usually low zinc. Right.
Right. The symptoms of low zinc is you lose taste, smell, both of them, or one or the other. Mm-hmm. That's a sign of severe zinc deficiency. And that seems to be the biggest factor for whether someone has severe case or life-threatening case mm-hmm. with the COVID-19. And zinc is very well known to be a deficiency in older populations. Mm-hmm. And I feel that the reason that the older populations are more at risk is because they have more vitamin and and mineral deficiencies mm-hmm. than other people too. So really we should be looking quite a bit along those lines and checking those types of things out. Yeah. There should be much more of an emphasis along those lines.
Oh, we could change healthcare and right. in America, which is, you know, working on those
things. Doing some very
things.
Basic tests and then yeah. getting some vitamins and minerals into people.
Well, let's talk about what tests are important to have done.
Well, blood work, check the immune system. You want to make sure your kidneys are working well. The better your kidneys working, then the easier you get through the whole COVID-19. One of the biggest risk factors that is very well known is chronic kidney disease. Mm-hmm. So the better your kidneys are, the better you are. Liver has a big effect. How well your clotting factors are working. All those things go into that. You can check those with the
blood
work.
And we're talking about that with children, you know, the blood work also.
Right, right. Oh, yes.
And it's covered by...
almost all insurances, yeah.
Yeah, all insurance, and our phlebotomist is terrific.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is a hair analysis. That's the best way to check on zinc levels. Mm-hmm. So I also recommend that. And then also a stool kit. National Institute of Health has said that the bowels are the biggest factor mm-hmm. on the immune system, how well that's working. So those are things that we recommend to have done on a yearly basis. And if you can get those things under control, do that well, you're actually protected not just from COVID-19, but from all the different types of infections. Also, it protects you from cardiovascular disease, cancer, all the things, because we can't forget that people are dying from other things besides COVID-19. Mm-hmm. You know, there are more deadly things out there than that.
Right, right. So what children are most at risk?
Well, the children that are most at risk have a compromised immune system. So any child along those lines, children who have autoimmune diseases, mm-hmm. Because that's always a sign whenever you have an autoimmune disease, that you have a weakened, compromised immune system. Mm-hmm. So the other thing are children who are on pharmaceuticals. All pharmaceuticals weaken the immune system. Taking antibiotics during this time for the COVID-19 should only be done as a last resort. Mm. Doctors can be very quick on recommending antibiotics, and antibiotics will set up your sensitivity to the COVID-19 and would definitely make it worse than if you hadn't had the antibiotics. Antibiotics are always contraindicated in any type of viral infection. Mm-hmm. I believe that most of the cases that you're talking about, the multisystem inflammatory syndrome, mm-hmm. is because the child already had a weakened immune system from something going on, or they had been put on probably an antibiotic or some type of a pharmaceutical that weakened their immune system.
Yeah, so not only the supplementation, you know, the vitamin D, zinc, iodine, getting all those checked.
Right.
But diet, sleep. Are kids getting enough sleep?
Sunshine, mm-hmm. fresh air.
Right.
All those types of things, social interaction. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have less social interaction, it weakens the immune system.
What else? I want to make sure you say what you want to say.
Let's make sure that our children are healthy. Mm-hmm. If we can improve the health of the United States, that's really one of the things that COVID-19 has really shown, is the importance of your own personal health.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you, Dr. Prather. Always informative.
Thank you, Lisa.
Well, up next, we have Regina, a patient at the Prather practice, who wanted to share her story of being in pain for over 5 years. Coming into our office, she was a radio listener, and within 7 weeks, being fully out of pain and back to 100%, back to gardening, and we'll be right back with that story.
Exciting.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
What are the effects of severe iodine deficiency?
If you have severe iodine deficiency, the thing that actually shows up is something called creatinism.
Doesn't sound good.
No. So what happens is you have an impaired physical and mental development. And usually that it's iodine deficiency in babies is the big thing that actually shows up. Because that's where iodine is very important in growth and in development. And if you don't have enough iodine, then that can actually cause a tremendous amount of problems. Matter of fact, the iodine levels in a mom as she's carrying the baby and in the first year or so in life is going to determine the IQ of the child.
Wow.
Why we like to do iodine levels on pregnant women and on women who are breastfeeding. Because that is a very important indicator and very important for the development of the baby. If you have severe iodine deficiency, you have permanent brain damage to the child where they are impaired and retarded. So retardation is one of the main things that happens if a child has severe iodine deficiency. Also, iodine goes into the muscle, and so you also have flabby muscles. You never have really muscle development. Iodine is also important to bone development, so you have abnormally formed bones, and they have a very slow metabolic rate and a very slow response time. It's not something that you would want to see in someone. That is severe iodine deficiency, but even where you have a little bit of deficiency, some of those things develop. So you don't have the muscle development, you don't have the skeletal development, you don't have the neurological development, they don't have a good endocrine system. So the whole system is actually underperforming. So making sure that iodine is present in the diet is absolutely essential to the proper development of a child, especially.
And you're talking about even when a woman's pregnant, or even before she gets pregnant, she should have that checked.
Oh, absolutely.
She's trying that to get pregnant.
That is one of the things that is absolutely essential. One of the big emphasis is folic acid, which we had been pushing for quite a while for folic acid to be recognized as something that needed to be supplemented, especially in pregnant women, because that was one of the major reasons on why birth defects were occurring. But the same is true of iodine. Iodine has a huge effect on the mental and physical development of a child. And so keeping up with that is absolutely important and can really make a big difference in how your child develops.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
If you are black, you have a 4 times greater chance of dying from COVID-19 than a white person in the same age group. Almost all the people who were younger who died from the COVID-19 were black. We've talked about how important vitamin D is to the COVID-19 for your overall health and well-being. As I'm talking to people and am doing blood tests on vitamin D, always the darker your skin is, the lower the vitamin D levels are. So I can't tell you how many black people that we've been able to make them feel incredibly better, get their hypertension and a lot of their issues under control just by checking their vitamin D and getting their vitamin D level up. And I really feel that the race factor in this, the main portion of that, is the vitamin D levels.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients. Well, I want to welcome Regina to our show today.
Hi.
Well, thank you for wanting to share your story. I think you've been a radio listener.
Yes.
How long have you been?
2 or 3 years. I think 3, maybe even 4 now. Wow, it's been a year, so. Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
It's nice to know we have people listening to our show. And then they come into the office and we get to meet them.
Yes. That's wonderful. Yep.
You were telling me before we started the interview that you even take notes. You've only missed 2 of the show.
Only 2 shows. I write down everything so I can share it with other people and because I want everyone to come here.
Well, let's share your story. Tell us a little bit about the history of your condition and what brought you in.
Well, about 4 years ago, my back started hurting quite badly. For about 6 months, I thought, oh, I can deal with it. Everybody has a bad back. I'm fine. Uh-huh. I didn't tell anyone, you know, and I just kept dealing with it. And then one day I just couldn't walk anymore. Mm. And I had to do something. I couldn't fib to everybody anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was definitely afraid of, I didn't want to go to my regular doctor because I was afraid. You always hear about surgery, cutting. I only heard a little bit about chiropractor, and I went to a different chiropractor because I didn't know about you mm-hmm. guys, and they were super nice. They helped me to walk again, mm-hmm. and that was great. But I still had other problems, and they told me I would have to come back once a month for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. There were just so many other things that were wrong, but I was so happy to walk.
Yes.
You know?
Wow.
And yeah.
So this started the back pain. Did something trigger it?
I wanted to get rid of all the weeds in the yard for like 5 months, for 5 hours every day. I picked weeds. Mm. And I didn't know that wasn't the right thing to do. I thought I was doing a great thing, you know? Uh-huh. And then that's
it
what happened.
It just depends on how you do it.
Yes. And then it just, that's what made it, that's what exacerbated. I hurt myself, I guess, a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I never had any problems until I started doing the yard work.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you went to a chiropractor who helped.
Yes.
You were able to walk again.
Mm-hmm.
And then what brought you into the Prather practice?
Well, they stopped taking my insurance, so I went to another chiropractor who did take my insurance, but I went there 3 times, and they didn't take x-rays, and they didn't even address my L5, which I thought was my whole problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they cracked my neck 3 times, and I couldn't go back. So I was just going to not go back to the chiropractor anymore. Because I called, and you didn't take my insurance. So I thought, well, I'll never be able to go there. And then a few months went by, and I thought, well, I really need to exercise. I don't want to get fat. It's winter. So I danced. I thought, what can my exercise be?
Yeah.
So aerobic dancing. And so I danced. I danced to wipe out like a crazy person. And then 3 days later, I could not walk again. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I just called Dr. Prather. I thought, I have nothing to lose. You know, I was like, well, they'll just tell me how it is. And I can uh-huh. either go there.
So when was that? When was your first appointment here? About 4 months?
Yes.
Okay.
But Dr. Dodge helped me right away. He helped me. I was able to sweep the floor and do things around the house that I couldn't do. But then I took 2 months off because of COVID. So, uh-huh. But you guys fixed me in 7 weeks.
7 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's talk about your first appointment. So, x-rays. Yes. Uh-huh. Any structural issue, we require x-rays.
Mm-hmm.
And did you find that informative?
I did, because the first chiropractor told me my L5 was completely twisted. And they just don't have the machines that you have, mm-hmm. advanced machines. And then here I found that I have 6 bones that are out of place, like big time out of place. Uh-huh. I was surprised.
And you got to see the x-ray.
I got to see it. I was dumbfounded.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But then I knew why I was in pain all the time.
Yeah. I mean, when you see those x-rays,
yeah,
it's unbelievable. And
yeah.
I mean, that's the picture mm-hmm. of your spine. Mm-hmm. And then we get a report from one of the top radiologists in the country that you get, and that's informative too. So Dr. Nice. Dodge is our associate chiropractor, and we're so glad to have him. He adjusts you your first time, mm-hmm. and we don't adjust on the day you get your x-ray.
Right.
We wait for the report, and mm-hmm. It usually takes a couple days. So mm-hmm. you come back in, he reviews your x-rays with you,
mm-hmm.
and then tell us a little bit about your first adjustment with him.
I felt wonderful right away. I could feel my body relaxing. I could feel all the muscles relaxing, and it was amazing. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then you got other services also.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Okay. I got acupuncture, which also is amazingly relaxing. And I really like the machines you have, the traction and the one
decompression.
Decompression, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes, it doesn't hurt at all. You mm-hmm. I feel amazing. I could fall asleep on the tables. And, yeah.
Did you fall asleep with acupuncture?
I didn't fall asleep with that.
Some people do.
Yes. But with the one machine that I don't know what it's called, but it smashes your back.
The traction.
Okay, yeah, the traction.
So it's a roller.
A roller, yes. Yeah,
and it creates, it helps to restore the proper curves in your spine.
Okay, all right. That was amazing, too, because that bone right there at the end of my backbone was out since I was 20 when I had a shot to relieve pain when I had my first baby. Uh-huh. So that bone is stuck out for 40 years. And it was horrible. Mm-hmm. And you guys, like, it's no longer there. It's back to where it's supposed to be.
That's what we're supposed to do, align the spine. Great. And did you also, any other services, did you get rehab with corrective exercise?
Yes.
Yeah, with Megan.
Megan and Alexa, and they showed me how to use the neck brace and the body brace.
Mm-hmm. And so now when you pull weeds, are you wearing that lumbar brace?
I am, yes.
Are you back to pulling weeds?
Well, I'm only doing a little, not full on, and I'm not going to ever.
I'm never going to do 5 hours.
No, I will never do that again. But, you know, working the garden is great. It feels good. Yes. But
But it's nice you're back to that.
Yes.
So tell me when you started feeling like you could do more things. Was it right away? Has it been progressive?
Well, it's been progressive, but after the very first adjustment, I mean, I couldn't. It hurt to sweep the floor and mop and do all of the things. So right away, I went home and I didn't sweep right away.
Yeah.
But that day, I could sweep and I didn't have pain. And then slowly, have so much energy now. Before, I would just do a little bit, I would just be worn out. And now I have abundant energy. Everything is so much better. I mean, it's like I have a whole new lease on life. I thought I was going to be broken forever and that it couldn't be fixed all the way, and now I'm fixed.
that's great news. And you are just a joy. I hear so many good things from our staff about
thank you.
And I think attitude is so important. And it's good that you just didn't settle for this is the way it's going to be. Right?
Yes. Because I heard you guys and, you know, there was so many other things I had learned. And so I thought, maybe I don't have to be this way. Anyway.
Was it one thing you heard on our show? Was it someone sharing their story? What caused you to finally come in?
It was just everything that I heard. I mean, so much information, so many things I didn't know about human bodies and you guys are so wonderful. Your love comes through on the radio. Oh. You don't sound like jerks who want to rake money in. You sound like people who want to help people. And just the fact that you have a free radio show, I'm sure you have to pay for that. So that's super nice. I mean, you are giving time, energy, money to the community. That really was impressive to me. And just the way you guys get along, before I knew you were husband and wife, I could tell you liked each other and you were nice to each other and you always laugh a lot on the radio and you know you just seem like a joy to be around and just all the knowledge that's finally I was just like I'm just gonna go because the whole time I wanted to come here I just didn't think I could and you know
and I know we don't take your insurance but you just decided.
I thought, I don't care. Yeah. I don't want to settle. I want the best.
Great. So where are you at now in your treatment and functionally, do you feel like you're 80% back or 90%?
I feel like I'm, 90 to 95% back, it seems like. I'm almost at the end.
Treatment.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I can work almost a whole day without pain. And, it used to feel like my back was breaking in half, and now it's almost zero pain. So it's just wonderful.
Well, Regina, thank you for sharing your story. And I know, just like you as a radio listener out there, I know that someone out there listening needed to hear your story. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Thank you, Lisa.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.